Love, Lust, and Laughter with Dr. Diana Wiley and Billy Sage, Fridays at 6 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Aloha, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Wiley and Sage, Love, Lust, and Laughter. I'm faithful sidekick Bill Sage from Honolulu, and Dr. Diana Wiley is in studio today in New York at the Progressive Radio Network. And our special guest today is Jamie Waxon, Master of Education, dubbed the next generation of sex educators by Wired.com. She has a master's in sex ed from Wider University, well-known and sought-after educator and lecturer in the field of human sexuality and relationships, as well as a sex writer, author, blogger, video host, producer, director, and workshop leader. And now, your host, live from New York, Dr. Diana Wiley.
Yes, live from New York. And this is really a treat for me to be actually in the Progressive Radio Network studios. And I am, our guest today is Jamie Waxman. I first met her about 4 years ago. I had a dinner party at my home at the time in Century City with Candida Royale, and Jamie was a guest. And I'm looking at your book, Jamie, A Woman's Guide to Masturbation, Getting Off, and you wrote in the book, Diana, so great to know you. Hope you enjoy the book. Well, have I ever, Jamie Waxman.
Yay! That's exciting!
Yeah, I mean, your book is so much more than a guidebook. It's so comprehensive. It advises and enlightens and amuses and encourages. And it, of course, you have lots of social and cultural historical perspectives on the M word. How come this M word, masturbation, how, as you say in your introduction, how can one simple word be so complex? How come?
Isn't it amazing? You know, I was just watching a trailer for a documentary I participated in called Sticky, which is all about the subject of masturbation as well.
Sticky.
And I was fascinated watching all of the commentary around masturbation. It just boggles my mind. And I think the reason that it is such a complicated word is that when you look back to historically the things that kept us in control, religion was a big factor in controlling people's thoughts and actions, and masturbation was something very difficult to control because you could never, if someone was sleeping in a room or you know, alone, you didn't know what they were doing, so you couldn't stop it. And so I just feel like that idea that it was this unstoppable force made it such a complicated history, gave it such a complicated story. If you look at the Bible, actually, there is no mention of masturbation. It's so much historically of how we regard the sin of onanism, which Onan was about, a story about a man who spilled his seed. It all goes back to this masturbation, this idea of actually finding pleasure in ourselves.
Then we get so many of the religions, particularly the Roman Catholic Church, saying that masturbation is a sin, and that's created a lot of difficulty for a lot of people. So let's set the record straight and about what that part of the onanism, that part of the Bible was, Jamie.
Sure. Well, the story of Onan is a story about a man who, once his brother passed away, it was law that he marry his brother's wife. So he did not want to have his brother's children, which would have been what his children would have become because he was married to his brother's wife. So instead of actually orgasming at the end inside of his partner, he pulled out. And that's what Onan did. That's his story. It's all about withdrawal. I can't say that word ever. It's like a New York thing. The withdrawal, or however, when you take things out of an ATM, it's all about the withdrawal method. Except that for some reason, what happened in the 1700s was there was a pamphlet that was distributed in Europe, and it had a very lengthy title, and I don't remember the whole title, but it was Onanism, or the heinous sin of self-pollution and all its frightful consequences. And then it went on to say, to those who touch themselves in some words, and those who are already afflicted with the disease or are thinking of becoming afflicted. And in this pamphlet was a cure, a tincture that you could actually send away for. You could mail away and receive this medication to cure you from premature death, hairy palms, blindness, disease.
All the awful horrors of masturbation.
Absolutely. And so this pamphlet promised to help cure you of your illness. So it was about 1712 that Onan and Onanism first became a term for masturbation, and it's kind of stuck ever since.
Well, I do like your book, Getting Off, A Woman's Guide to Masturbation. And by the way, listening audience, Jamie Waxman has offered to give away one of her books, Getting Off, if you'll call in to 877. I'm sorry, I'm doing the wrong number.
How about 888-874-4888? Will that work?
This is why we have Bill Sage on board, my trusty, humorous sidekick.
That number, once again, is 888, that's the toll-free intro, 874-4888.
Yes, and so you may have a question for Jamie Waxman. Her website is Jamie, and it's spelled J-A-M-Y-E, Waxman, W-A-X-M-A-N.com. You have a great part of your website, which is Ask Jamie Anything. So what are some of the more out there kinds of questions that you've encountered? Because Ask You Anything, can you share with us?
Well, I don't know what's out there, but I do know the questions I get right now are a lot about how to get into porn or if I want to have sex with someone, which is a big mix. You know, this is actually a big thing for me, this misconception that as a sex educator, I just want to have sex with everyone or I'm open to having sex with everyone. And that's been quite difficult being single to balance that with a lot of people in my life. So it's really fascinating and funny to me that my emails reflect those sort of questions. Of course, then I also get a lot of questions on women asking what's wrong if they don't have an orgasm through penetration. And that makes me sad because it does seem like in every video you watch, there is somebody who has to have, who easily orgasms through penetration when only 30% of women actually do. So that's another question that I get asked a lot, and I'm happy to answer. And then, of course, sex toy questions, because I did work for 5 years at a sex toy shop. So I have a good base of knowledge around toys.
Yes, you do. And Babeland, and you said in your book, I loved sharing, still love sharing, too much. And I actually, as in a different role as a sex therapist, and as, well, sex lecturer, educator myself, same thing. I love sharing too much. And what you were just talking about as a single woman and sort of expectations, people are sometimes, as far as sex therapists, people are sometimes curious about our personal lives. And there was a study done some years ago that revealed that sex therapists don't have necessarily any sort of wilder, kinkier sex lives, but they do it with less anxiety because they have so much more knowledge. And I bet that's true for you.
True. Yes, absolutely. In fact, I was having a conversation yesterday with a friend. I had a partner once who had erection problems, and it didn't bother me at all, even the idea that if he wasn't erect, that I didn't take it that he wasn't aroused. I actually knew and felt he was very aroused, and so I'd tell him, you know, don't worry about it, let's make out, or let's just cuddle, or, you know, let's just keep going, or whatever.
Sure.
And my friend said, you didn't mean that, you don't mean that, and I said, no, I do, I'm very, and it made me realize that there is this part of me that is drawn to this field for a reason, and I am I am more sexually open and accepting, if nothing else, than maybe a lot of other people. But that's why you're drawn to this. I assume you must have been drawn to sex therapy because you were passionate about relationships and how people interact and how we, you know, do that dance. and so to speak. So
yes, and I think the other thing that drew me to the field or to specialize, because I first got my license as a marriage and family therapist in California, was that our sexuality is so core to who we are. And when there is healthy sexual expression, people, and you talk about this even in your book, people are happier. And I would much rather, I do lots of marriage counseling, but years ago I did some work with clinically depressed people, and that's harder work actually, and not as satisfying, because sex therapy is cognitive behavioral. You have to change the way you're thinking about things, but also you have to change certain behaviors. And so if the couple does their homework, they'll often come back for the next session smiling, because it's worked. Yeah. And it's measurable. The woman's having orgasms, the man's having less premature ejaculation. It's very measurable. So sex therapy, and for you, Jamie, as a sex educator, it's very rewarding. You get the feedback about how people have been able to have a more satisfying sexual life as a result of your interventions.
That's why I got in this field. I was a radio producer, and I got really lucky. I was put on a very, very, very progressive, way ahead of its time station with a man we both know, Bob Berkowitz.
Yes.
And
I was once on his show when you were the producer. That's about 2001.
Absolutely, on IATA.com, which
that's
is no longer
right.
around.
I know, too bad.
It is, and I remember, though, as a radio producer, you know, my path was in radio, and then what I got on a talk show about sexuality, everything just changed, because it is, for me, extremely satisfying to be a part of a person's dialogue about their core being, about their sexuality. It is, even if you choose to be asexual, it is still a core part of who you are, and it also changes over time. Sexuality is fluid, and so we take it to be one thing that we accept for the rest of our lives, especially when we meet a partner that we want to be with, and then we fight with ourselves and each other over the course of time, because everything changes. And in the rest of our lives, we're allowed. You and I were talking, we move a lot, you know. We both have lived in a number of apartments in short periods of time, and that's acceptable. But if we do that with partners, then things, you know, it's different. So we have this extreme, we have this emphasis on our sex life that it has to be one way forever, and that's just not the case. And so helping people see past that is so freeing and fulfilling to me.
Yes, and I want to say on the air that Jamie is in the midst of moving in Southern California. She used to be here on the in Brooklyn, right, and in New York.
So wait a second.
Yeah.
Dr. Diana, you fly to New York to interview your guests from the studios, and you were in California.
That's
then you
it.
Moved to Seattle. So now she's in California while I'm sitting in Honolulu.
I know.
With this picture.
Isn't that funny? And you know
it
what's
is
so funny?
Funny
is my last apartment in L.A. was so close to your apartment in L.A.
I know. So, but moving, but you know, moving, changing places to live is about embracing change and being resilient. And those are very helpful qualities to have in life just to cope, don't you think, Jamie?
I do, but I also think it makes you stronger. And that goes back to sex, embracing change and accepting and moving forward and enjoying the sex life that you have right now is the same thing. It totally makes you stronger. As you said earlier, happiness is a big part too. Laughter makes you healthy. I mean, they don't say laughter is good medicine or whatever the actual phrase is for nothing. So there are so many things that we can do to keep ourselves active and alive in our personal and sexual lives.
So I want to say to my humorous sidekick, Billy Sage, because you know better than most how important laughter is. Can you come up with a story about where laughter made a difference
or even a
joke? Yes, of course you can.
I mean, there was a sex therapist, and she was sitting in the hot tub, and the light bulb went out, and her client said, how many sex therapists does it take to change a light bulb? And said, just one. But, of course, the light bulb has to want to change. And the light bulb fell in the water, and they got a real charge out of it. And after that, the problem was not one of having too little passion. The problem was just sparks flying everywhere. But that's for another time.
That's for another time. In the meantime, let's segue into waterproof sex toys. Because they exist, thank goodness. Before, I would like to, you, of course, so much of your book, Getting Off, A Woman's Guide to Masturbation, it has a lot of detailed information about what sex toys work and why. But I have a little personal story to tell that I think is amusing. About 15 years ago, perhaps even more like 20 now, time has that way, I was living in Palo Alto, and I was invited by a television show doing a show on female orgasms. So the producer said to me, bring all of your sex toys. So I packed them up, because I was just flying to Los Angeles and back. So I had a bunch of sex toys in my bag. So I go through security, and the young man there opened the bag and got really big eyes. And I looked at him, and I looked at my toys in the bag, and I said, well, what can I tell you? It takes a lot to get me going. And he didn't know if I was serious or not.
I'm not sure if she's a terrorist, but if she is, I want a room in the new regime.
You think?
Oh, that's fantastic.
Well, you know, Jamie, you are such an advocate for demystifying and for saying it's okay to touch yourself, whether it's with a vibrator or with your fingers. And what's wrong with touching our own bodies? Say some more about that, because you write about it eloquently.
Thank you so much, Diana. Well, I do think it is so important to know yourself. And if you don't know yourself, then you place a lot of emphasis on somebody else really knowing you, and that's impossible. It's just not, I mean, we never even know everything about ourselves, right? So it's impossible to expect somebody else to know things about us that we haven't taken the time to explore. And I just think it's really important to get to know your body, know what feels good, know what doesn't, press those hot buttons, and explore. And it's also just really healthy. Kegel exercises are just so fantastic for not just vaginal strength, but for sexual orgasms. And really practicing those, exercising those muscles, those pelvic floor muscles, can change your sex life and how you have sex. And I think that orgasms, Betty Dodson is a testament to this.
Oh, yeah.
She looks fantastic, and she's 80 years old and does not look a day over 60 to me.
It's true. That's right. I'm going to have a drink with her tomorrow. I'm really looking forward to it. She lives in New York.
She's just an amazing, wild woman. And, you know, I believe so much of her physical health comes from the amount of orgasms she's allowed herself to have and to give herself. I have a lot of orgasms every week, but most of them, they are like made by me, for me, when I want them.
And, that's right.
You know, my friends think sometimes that I'm crazy, but I feel great, and I think I look a lot younger than I am. I feel healthy.
Yep.
It helps me go to sleep. So I'm happy with it.
Well, I've always said an orgasm a day keeps the doctor away. You know, it's...
I believe it.
What does that say about a masturbating physician?
Do
they have an out-of-body experience? Just asking.
Just asking.
You know, somebody's got to ask the dumb question.
But Betty Dodson, she's called, and you call her this in your book, the, I think, the godmother, the grandmother of masturbation, the masturbation maven. She is famous for her sex, are they called sex body workshops, Jamie?
Sexological body workshops was probably what, body awareness, I think, was part of it too, the body awareness movement.
Yeah, where she uses the industrial strength Hitachi. She has a lot of her women sit in a circle, and they are naked, And the first they look, well, you tell, because you've been there. I've just heard about it.
Well, first, you know, you inspect your vulva in a mirror. And my favorite was, and I actually have not been to one of her sexological body workshops. I did masturbate on video for Betty.
Boy, that was brave of you.
I wanted to do it because I felt like I have been behind the camera in a number of levels on adult movies, and I make my own movies, and I wanted to have the experience of being in front of the camera, so I understood what it felt like to expose yourself that way, and the vulnerability and the performance and all of the aspects of being on camera and being watched. Interestingly, that was actually fairly easy for me. There were only four of us in the room, but when I shot for Candida Royale, I took a part in a movie that we wrote together called Under the Covers, and I had to get caned. I wasn't even fully naked, and that was terrifying. The crew was big, the lights came down, and, you know, just having to perform and know you were crawling into a room and you had to hit these marks, I still do it now with clothes on, and it's getting easier, but those first few times were definitely hard. But at Betty's workshops, getting back to her, she basically will also tell you what type of vulva you have, which is my favorite part, where she describes it as Baroque or classic or like a butterfly or a heart or a flower, whatever shape, because Betty is an artist, that she actually, you know, she pencils and draws.
Oh, she's a fabulous artist, and I have one of her pieces where it's a man and a woman embracing each other, and it's framed above my bed. It's just
so
beautiful.
Talented.
I know.
So then she then goes around and gives everyone Hitachi magic wands, which I think are too strong for some women.
I think they are.
So I don't necessarily think that's the one to always start with. I think you should have a selection, but Betty loves the magic wand. And she'll even tell you to put a towel in between the
wand and you.
And then women experience what, you know, you imagine would be like what the guys call a circle jerk. Same sort of premise. Where you're all pleasuring yourselves, but you also get the energy of the sexual energy of the room in that experience, and that is something you can't feel until you've been there.
Yes.
What's really needed, though, is an overbite of sound going, "Good evening and welcome to Masturbate Theater."
I'll be your host.
I'm Alice Cock, and I'll be... Sorry, I had to...
I think that's very appropriate.
All right. It's so great to finally be saying inappropriate things in an appropriate venue so they're no longer inappropriate, which makes me appropriate, which is inappropriate for me to say because I feel so inappropriate for not being appropriate inappropriately.
Uh-huh.
I'll shut up now
if we followed that. But, you know, this reminds me of in your book, Getting Off, Jamie Waxman, you have a wonderful resource guide at the end, and I'm just looking for it now, but I think it's called Arrow Sounds, where you can listen to some erotic stories while you're making love with a partner. Does this...
Oh, yes. There's a company... I don't have my book in front of me.
Well, I'm going to try to find it because I did mark it.
I know there's Sounds Erotic.
Oh, that's it. Sounds Erotic. That was it.
Yeah, that's a DVD. I believe the company's still around. I have not spoken to them in a number of years, but they were fantastic. And they have audio erotica. So you just split the DVD into your player or you put it on the MP3 player. And then you have erotica to go and... They read different stories. I also like just putting some porn on and keeping the noise there if you are self-conscious about noises that might come out because you live at home or your walls are thin or whatever.
Or you've got small children.
Right. I mean, put on some music, probably not porn with the
morning.
That
would
just make it more obvious. But, yeah, so putting on some, like, really sultry music or something dancey always works, too. But I do love the Sounds Erotic. And I also love a website called Beautiful Agony. These are just the faces of ecstasy.
Wow.
So you don't watch anything but people's faces as they either are being pleasured by someone else or with somebody else or are pleasuring themselves. You don't know because all you see is their face.
Oh, I'm going to check. So that's beautifulagony.com?
Yes.
Okay.
And another great number, of course, is jamiewaxman.com. That's JAYMEWAXMEN.com for Jamie's website. And our studio line, toll-free, is 888-874-4888. Hey, honey, you want to do jumping jacks in a hot tub filled with lukewarm tapioca? Sounds erotic.
And don't forget, Jamie's offer to give the first caller a getting-off book so that you can get off better. Now, you do also talk not just about women masturbating, but you do talk about men, and you talk about how a man who's never experienced a vibrator on his testicles or his perineum or his anus, that he's perhaps missing out on some delicious, delightful sensations. Can you talk more about that, Jamie?
Yes. Absolutely,
yes.
I think he is.
I'm listening.
Yeah. All of a sudden, we have a turned up volume of enthusiasm here.
Sounds erotic.
Well,
What's your name, Buzzy?
I just came back from the Florida Toy Expo, and I wrote a piece for Playgirl that will come out in a few months for the love of penis. And there are so many fantastic toys out there now for men. Vibration is an added stimulation, just like it is for women. It can help guys enjoy another level of excitement, even take guys to the umpteenth level if they're looking for it. And in the perineum, it feels great because you massage both the shaft of the penis still and the prostate, and just the nerve endings around the butt are fantastic too. And there's a new toy that is coming out called the Cobra Libre. I have literally laid my hands on it, and I will tell you, if I had a penis, I would be buying this right away.
I'd buy it in the morning.
It looks like a race car.
And wow.
It's designed to stimulate the frenulum.
Which is
on the underside of the penis, that V-shape where the head meets the shaft. It's the most sensitive part for a lot of men.
The frenulum,
and
yeah.
I've heard it's fantastic.
Well, you'll have to do a test run with a male partner and get his immediate feedback, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well,
any volunteers? Call 888-874-4888, toll-free. We're still looking for that first caller. Guys, what have you got to lose by volunteering? Even if you ask a stupid question, call up. We're talking with our dumb sticks now anyway.
What do you mean? Thinking with your little head, maybe, than the big head?
He's got a swelled head all the time. He never knows he's little.
Oh, I see. Well, but the advantage of this program, Love, Lust, and Laughter, is that, again, you can be entertained and informed so that you can maybe, if you're a guy out there listening, you can be listening with both heads, the big head and the little head. And we're talking about masturbation, self-love, and people are going to
Put down the little head and pick up the phone.
Okay. Very
there. Once again, 888.
You could do it at the same time.
Yes.
You could do that. You could pick up the phone and play with the little head at the same time.
Yeah.
Just
now with these hands-free
devices,
what the hell?
Yes. We're going to go to a break shortly. Jamie, in your book, you have a lot of really fascinating facts, and one that I'm reading out of your book right now is, according to the Romance Writers of America, well, it's 5,994, almost 6,000 romance titles were released in 2005, and romance fiction generated 1.4 billion in sales the same year. What does this reflect? I mean, I have my ideas. Billy has his ideas. What are your ideas? Because you're our guest, Jamie. What does this reflect? Of these romance novels being sold.
I think we are all erotic beings, like you said earlier, and for a lot of women, we like to create the visual, so a romance novel is a way for us to have the story and then create it in our heads. I also read recently, I think it was in the New York Times, but it was in one of the big papers. If it wasn't, it was otherwise out of London, the Daily Mail or whatever. Maybe that's not the big one, but The Guardian, that romance novels are not just really on the rise for women, but women are really enjoying gay male erotica, and that more of it is being written for women these days than ever. And I thought that was fascinating because it also allows us to get into the heads of something we could never actually... I know a lot of friends of mine who like to watch adult videos that are not representative of the sex that they have.
Right, so and, women watching gay men. Now, we have a caller, I believe, Katie, my producer. Oh, sorry, I got it confused. I'm not used to being in studio. We're going to go to break in a minute, but let's finish up with that thought since we don't have a caller. Yes, I think it turns out from studies I've read that women can watch heterosexual couples making love, having sex. They can watch two women together. They can even watch animals like bonobo, bonobo monkeys. And they can be aroused, although they don't always know it. Whereas a man, heterosexual man, pretty much only wants to watch heterosexual couples and women together, not men together. Whereas women,
typical.
Yeah. So, but then, of course, they know that they're aroused because their penis gets erect, and so we've got the gender differences, which we'll explore some more after the break. Bill, you want to give the call-in line one more time before
I
we go to break?
I certainly will. That toll-free number is 888-874-4888. And just for your reference, bonobos or bonobos in their own language pronounce it.
Okay.
This is Wiley and Sage.
Thank
love,
you.
Lust, and laughter.
Se ti perderai nel labirinto di un amaro attore.
You are listening to the Progressive Radio Network, your number one source for progressive commentary.
Hello, this is Eric Offner, your host of the best jazz show on the air. On Progressive Radio Network, Eric's Sounds of Jazz, every Friday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I play the best jazz ever recorded by Louis, Sidney, Bessie, Billy, and all the others. Remember, Progressive Radio Network, Eric's Sounds of Jazz, every Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
I'm Elaine Snuffa, host producer of Evolving Ideas. Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and global on the Internet. Join me each week on the Progressive Radio Network to explore the universe and our relationship to it.
Freedom News Hour will bring you up to date on the latest news on the financial meltdown.
Begin restoring local communities. It can happen.
We'll be exploring the issues from a freedom-oriented, small government perspective.
I'm Walt Thiessen.
I'm Melinda Pillsbury Foster.
I am Jake Towne.
Join us live Thursday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com.
Hi, this is Karen Hartglass, host of It's All About Food on the Progressive Radio Network. Please join me every Wednesday at 3 p.m. when we talk about the power of the fork, how our food choices affect our health, the environment, and the treatment of animals. Learn how a plant-based diet of fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes, nuts, and seeds is not only delicious, but gentle on the planet.
This is PRN, the Progressive Radio Network.
And we are back with Love, Lust, and Laughter of Wiley and Sage and our special guest, Jamie Waxman. Once again, our studio, that's Waxman enunciating. It's kind of hard because my tongue is swelling. It's about a 4 hour to be here. Anyway, the number is 888-874-4888.
And, of course, Jamie Waxman does a lot of workshops. And I know your favorite workshop is Real Sex versus Porn. But before we talk about that, in your book, A Woman's Guide to Masturbation, Getting Off, you have why watch porn and read erotica? And I feel like this will be a good segue into your favorite workshop. And you write, erotica in any form is a great way to borrow other people's sexual ideas and images. Watching other people's fantasies come to fruition, either in video form or through the turning of pages, can help spark us emotionally, creatively, and sexually. I know that when I work with my pre-orgasmic women, that often what helps them, aside from using a toy, sometimes for the first time, to reach orgasm, reading erotica for a lot of women is really better almost than watching porn. What do you think about that, Jamie?
I think, like I said, I think that we're all different, right? But I know it worked for me. In fact, Nancy Friday's My Secret Garden, I think, is one of the hottest erotic books out there because it's still women's fantasies.
Yeah.
And then Forbidden Flowers. And I really, I don't necessarily need the picture to be painted for me. I like to have that opportunity to create the portrait myself. But I do like, I was thinking as you were reading that, it's kind of like, why not get, you know, be a little lazy? You don't have to think up all your own fantasies. Take them from someone else. So
right.
That you can just act them out. It's less stressful than thinking, okay, what comes next? And I mean, of course, it's great to make up your own fantasies, too, but why not borrow every once in a while from the great? So I just think it's very hot and exciting to think about sexual, someone being aroused and turned on and to be tapping into their innermost intimate thoughts, and that makes written erotica really nice, where when you watch erotica, there's less left to the imagination. And sometimes with some of the people I've seen in adult videos, I'd like a little more to the imagination.
Yes, and if I just thought of a correlation between radio talk and television talk. Radio talk is really more intimate because the listeners out there can imagine all sorts of things about any of us, right?
Exactly. You know, I have a poster back, I think it must be at my parents' house now, but it said, radio is theater of the mind.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a banana with feet, and it was a New York radio campaign from the early 80s that an old host of mine had given me. And I saw it on the radio, and it was a banana with feet, and it was the radio ad, radio is theater of the mind, but that was the radio ad campaign.
Well,
I saw it on the radio.
Now we have a caller, talking about, talk radio being more intimate. We actually have a caller. Liz, you are on the air. Do you have a question for Jamie?
Yes. Could you talk a little bit about how you think our sexuality changes as we get older?
Sure, Liz. Thanks for calling.
And by the way, Liz, as the first caller, do you want her book, Getting Off?
I love it.
Okay, so you be sure after this question, you be sure and stay on the line so that our wonderful producer, Katie Fitzgerald, can get your name and address. And you'll get the book. And after Jamie talks about it, I would like to put in my 2 cents worth because of my experience with aging and sexuality. But go ahead, please, Jamie, talk about it changes.
From my experience, what changes is you really, as your body grows and you get more comfortable with your sexuality, you figure out the things that you like and that you don't like, for starters. So I know more what types of things I need to have an orgasm. Like, I don't orgasm from vaginal penetration alone, so I know that I need clitoral stimulation. I also learn what types of stimulation I like better than other types. As I've gotten older, I've been more open to try more in my sex life because I've tried, you know, X, Y, and Z. Now I want to try double X, double Y, and double Z. Just for the experiences.
You're greedy.
just for the experiences. But I also know that as I've aged, you know, and my menstrual cycle has actually gotten a lot more intense. It's changed my sexuality certain times of the month. Plus, women who have babies, bodies change and lubrication changes and what you might need to get aroused changes, and the things that worked once don't work all the time. So where heavy petting and kissing might have worked, now being aroused might require, you know, a vibrator or some other form of penetration before your partner penetrates you, or partner penetration, whatever. But there's just lots of our likes and our what feels good to our bodies just changes as our bodies and our brains and everything else continue to evolve.
And I think that as women get older, they're also more comfortable saying what it is they want and need and desire. That we really are we know our bodies the best. And so if we can summon the courage, and some women, especially in their early 20s or late teens, really don't have enough experience, as you described it, Jamie, to have the courage to say, but to say what they need and want. You know, I've worked with couples over the years where there's this assumption, well, one woman said, well, he should know. I mean, he loves me. He should know. And it's kind of like going on a treasure hunt without any clues. You got to speak up and say how you like to be pleasured. Does that make sense to you, Liz?
It certainly does. I think the more we're around, the more we figure out what we want, and we certainly can tell other people what we want.
Yes. How can you say how it's changed for you? Do you mind saying your age or some version of it?
I'm 57.
Oh, good, Liz. Good. I'm glad we have some older listeners.
And,
older? Hell, she's a hot young chick to me.
Yeah, I know it.
I have a gay friend that says I should do phone sex because I don't sound like I'm 56.
Oh, you don't, and plus you have.
Oh, my darling, welcome to the radio program. Your eyes are like limpid microphones.
Liz, you do. You have a nice, sensual voice. So you're 57, so do you mind sharing how it's changed for you, your sexuality and your sexual confidence?
I think just what Jamie was saying, being more open to different types of things and feeling kind of like, oh, this feels good. Like, I want this.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm not willing to settle for somebody saying, oh, you know, I'm going to do this. Well, I don't know. I don't think we're going to do that. I think just knowing, like you said, more of what you want and being able to convey that to someone that you're with.
And you're much more likely to get it. There's an author named Joan Price, and she's about to come out with her second book. But her first book is Better Than I Expected. And it's about sexuality for a woman in her 50s and 60s. And I'm actually quoted in the next book that's coming out anytime, having to do with something about being comfortable about being naked, even if you're an older woman. But I think, you know, you can tell if you look at women, especially women in their 60s and 70s, and if they've stopped being sexual, they often look much more like dried up apricots.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, there's a lot of research too, and this is a heterosexual thing, but there's a lot of research on the power of semen and its effects on women, and that it releases these happy hormones inside our bodies that we don't even realize. And it's really fascinating because I do think that that happiness and that and keeping your sexuality alive keeps you, like we said earlier, younger and more vibrant, really.
Well, absolutely. And but can you, Jamie, what did you read about the power of semen? I know that there are Asian prostitutes that will put ejaculate on their faces, their skin, their hair, because it's good, they say, for their skin and their hair. Of course, ejaculate has some protein in it and some other things. But what did you read about that?
What I read was about, I know it's on my blog too, because I linked it was a Discovery magazine story, I believe. But it was about the happiness factor, in that our bodies just feel happier when we're getting regular semen. And I think it even is a little bit about our skin and looking younger and lighter and just, I mean, really the benefits of sex. But they say that we biologically don't even really understand that there are, like, women who are having regular sex often start to menstruate at the same time. Like, our bodies just sync up. So it's almost like just a part of the whole process. I mean, I do believe a lot of illness stems from negativity. So when you're having sex, you're usually feeling good about your body, hopefully. Of course, you know, I know there are exceptions, but you're falling more, you're feeling attractive because you're being desired by somebody, and you're being able to dance in that lovely horizontal, vertical mambo sort of way. And I think it's just all overall sperm, it's not the fountain of youth, but it definitely, you know, a little jizz goes a long way.
Come and glow for the woman. The man come and the glow. And Bill, you must have some sort of comment at this juncture.
Let's see. It's a wonderful lotion. It helps the complexion. And it's great for a floor wax or a dessert topping.
Oh.
Oh, wait, that's going back to the old SNL.
Let's let Liz go unless you have another. Liz, are you still?
I'll send you that book, Liz. Thank you.
Yeah. Liz,
thank you, Beth.
Do you have another question or comment?
No, I just think you guys are great and have a lot of fun.
Well, thank you for listening, Liz.
Yeah, Liz, thank you. We really appreciate callers. They're, you know, so far in this program, Love, Lust, and Laughter, they're few and far between, but we sure appreciate it, and you're going to get that book, so you stay on the line, and Katie will get your name and address, and we'll pass that along to Jamie.
And Diana, I have a DVD, so if you want to give one of those away, if someone else does call in.
Oh, good. All right, thank you, Liz. Bye-bye. Okay, so she's off. So talk about your new DVD, because I didn't even know about it till just before we went on the air, you told me. So, yeah, talk about it.
Well, I'm really stoked about this one, too. It's called 101 Positions for Lovers, and Sinclair is actually releasing it right now. And it's basically 102 sex positions. Shot on location with real couples in hedonism in Jamaica.
Oh.
And it's all shot outdoors for the most part with a few interviews indoors. And it's just, it's a fun video. I mean, you're not going to try every single position, but you're going to get new ideas. And I give colorful commentary, and I'm wearing my little frilly pants and high knee-high socks to introduce the video. And I love the couples, and it was just a really fun video to make.
I bet. Plus, you got to go to hedonism in Jamaica.
Oh, yeah.
And there must have been a lot of hedonistic stuff going on. There must have been a lot of sexual energy there.
I've been around hedonism a number of times. This trip, I was so busy working, I didn't see as much. But I was just there. We shot that 2 years ago, and I was there this past year, and realize there is so much sexual energy there, and it's just a very open place. There's a nude beach and what they call a crude beach, and really open, exploratory of couples who, you know, redefine what marriage and relationship means to them by opening it up a lot of times, not always, to others either being part of the experience or watching the experience or whatever, but it's just a beautifully open environment. And it's in Jamaica, so that's not bad.
Not bad. So a lot of these folks then probably are swingers.
I know that the times I've been there have been big swingers weeks, so yes.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that Sinclair Institute 101 positions. As you know, because you earlier did Lori Buckley's radio show, Lori Buckley and I narrated Great Sex for a Lifetime, Volumes 1 and 2 for the Sinclair Institute, which is targeted at baby boomers. And
I love Sinclair.
They're very good. They were first on the scene, too, with sex ed.
Yes, and they're really one of the only companies that has found a way to cross over to the mainstream. And I just think that sexual video is such a great way, a great tool for sex education. And even though it is fantasy and like Hollywood film fiction, there is some really valuable stuff that you can learn from sex ed videos that are watchable. And I can't say that there are a lot of, you know, companies making them. So it's an honor to be able to be part of Sinclair.
I have felt that, too. I did my first, I did an audition piece for Sinclair back in, I suppose, 94. Was how to be a lover for a lifetime. That wasn't quite the title, but anyway, it was fun to do it, and I've done a couple's Guide to Great Sex Over 40 and Great Oral Sex and all of that. And of course, we learn so much visually. I've had a lot of my couples say that it's been very helpful to watch a DVD, and because, for instance, there are, the oral sex one, there are some guys that are a little uncertain about how to perform cunnilingus. So if they can see it, and then maybe also read a really good book, Ian Kerner's book, She Comes First.
Best book on cunnilingus.
Isn't
Best
it?
Book. Yep. Yes, absolutely, hands down.
And
But I do think porn, or not all sex education, but a lot of adult videos, I would just categorize it all for a second, do a disservice to cunnilingus. I call it cameralingus, where they show too much tongue. And the idea of what you shoot in oral sex for women is not as exciting as it would normally be. So that is the one thing I wish we could just put like a disclaimer. The cunnilingus you see on this film is actually cameralingus.
That the camera can get in there.
That's what I call it. I made up that term when I was teaching.
I like that.
So cameralingus versus cunnilingus, yes.
So you do workshops. I know you just got back from doing workshops in Toronto. And if we go to your website, Jamie Waxman, J-A-M-Y-E, Waxman, W-A-X-M-A-N.com, can read about your sex boot camp. And you do things like blowjob basics and uncovering the orgasm.
Now drop and give me 20.
Sorry. Down, 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 deeper, down, 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 deeper.
So tell us, please, about your workshops. Because you give them a lot in different places.
I do. I actually am about to slow down, I believe, because I'm working on a new film series. But I love teaching workshops because we are all sex educators. We are all sexperts. We know what we know, and that's the experience we come from. The difference between, you know, me or you and somebody out there who works in another job for a living is that because we love this, we're passionate about it, and it's our job, we talk about it a lot more and learn a lot more about it than the average person. But we're all sexperts, right? So I love teaching workshops because I love just being able to interact with people on a one-on-one, one-on-30 basis, whatever, and really, like, learn from my workshops as much as I teach and to give people the satisfaction and the information that they need to be empowered and armed to go out that door and either try something new or be reaffirmed about something they thought they knew but weren't sure what they were doing, quote-unquote, right or whatever. And I just love that interaction with people who don't talk about sex every day, every hour, like I can.
And it's a special skill, and you do it so openly and with humor, and you're young, and I think a lot of your younger workshop attendees can relate to you really well. And now you were saying that your favorite workshop is real sex versus porn.
Well, it is right now because, like I said, Diana, I love bringing awareness to people. And in the realm of porn, I have been on enough sets. I work in the industry peripherally, but enough to know what's going on a very basic level. And I think that we place so much emphasis in our daily lives or our daily sex lives on how it's done in pornography, why a woman comes in, you know, 5 seconds as soon as she's entered, just the tip, but as soon as she's entered, she has an orgasm, and why, you know, camerlingus is not quite cunnilingus. And I really feel like talking about the things we see in film, on screen and on DVD, whatever, is very important, because we place too much assumption on it being the right way to do things. And, you know, I start my workshop with, if you've ever seen the 1973 movie Bullet with Steve McQueen, you don't drive down the streets of San Francisco like that, or you're dead. So why do you think having sex like you do in movies or in porn is the way to have sex? It doesn't mean it's right. And then we go into what is right and what is wrong in my own experiences. I had some very tough times making my first 3 movies. So I talk about them more openly and candidly, and let people know that it's work. It's not actually that sexy. And here's what goes, here are the elements to pornography.
Beautifully stated. Before we end the program, I want us to talk a little bit about our very dear and mutual friend, Candida Royale, because she is so remarkable and such. I know she's a mentor. She's been a dear friend of mine for about 20 years, and she's made such a difference with making the erotic films that are female friendly. But tell us, if you would, Jamie, how she was a mentor to you, and I've even heard you say she's like a surrogate mother to you.
Oh, she is. She's definitely, I saw her last week and someone asked, is this your daughter? And she said, no. And I said, I could be.
I know.
And then she's like, I guess you're right. Okay.
Yeah.
She is just, you know, when she started Femme Productions in 1984.
That's right.
There was really no voice for women's erotica on video. And Candida just stuck to her guns and did what she believed and created movies. And her first movie was very music video, MTV-like. She created movies that she believed she would want to watch. And when people criticized her and took her down and said, women don't want to watch this, she's probably the most distinguished lady, you know, I'm close with. And she just kept her composure and her cool, and she said, yes, they do. And she really paved the way for me and everybody like me who wanted to make an erotic voice in their culture. She paved the way for us to do that. And she never said, you know, took no, and she never didn't stand her ground. And I'm watching her now as she develops other women in the industry from all over the world internationally, as she helps directors get their footing in America, and as she encourages women to keep directing and producing and telling their stories. And she's just one of these people. I met her when I was doing IATA, and she stuck her hand out to me. She said, I really liked you, Jamie. I always would like to stay in touch. And then that year she invited me, and that was 10 years ago, actually.
Yes,
she invited me to her birthday party. And I went, and I just became part of her family, and we just stayed in touch ever since. And now, I mean, she's as close to family as family is. So
yes,
she means the world, and I just am very excited, and I feel very blessed that she saw something in me and wanted to help me. Without her, my career would not be what it is at all.
Well, that's quite a testament. She has made a difference.
Oh yeah.
She has made a difference for so many women, and I must say I've never had a friend quite like Candida. And I just love her. She is so intelligent and so beautiful and so creative. Just unbelievable. And, you know, there are a few people out there that would be judgmental. Oh, she was a porn actress back in the 70s, I guess.
Yes.
And they would be judgmental. But honestly, why? Look at what she's created, and look at the difference she's made by mentoring women like you, Jamie Waxman.
Thank you. And I do think people with those judgments, a lot of times you have to really take that judgment and throw it back. Because usually when we have such a negative reaction to something, it's something in us. I mean, you can look at all those, you know, ministers who preach against homosexuality who are gay, or Elliot Spitzer, who tried to take down the New York prostitution system only because he was using the D.C. one. You know, really, there's just something within us a lot of times when we have such a negative judgment on someone based on whatever they've done that we need to look at.
Well, you say it very well, and often we do, because there are so many hypocritical people out there that are speaking out of both sides of their mouths. We got you speaking directly to us today, Jamie Waxman. Thank you so much. I want to have you back. I hope you'll want to come back, because...
Absolutely. Thank you both.
You're welcome. And Billy, hasn't she been a great guest?
What can I say? Jamie, you look marvelous, even orally. That's A-U-R-E-L-L-Y.
Yes.
I got it.
We got it, Bill.
I thought you might.
So we're out of time, and Bill, why don't you send us off? And again, thanks, Jamie.
We'll see
you.
Yes, I've always wanted to say this. So, gang, stay tuned. Same time, same station next week on Wiley and Sage Love, Lust, and Laughter, right here on the Progressive Radio Network. Till next week, aloha.